Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Good. Turn this up a little bit, please. Good. So nice we can continue with our study of chapter, a little less. Yeah, just a hair. Yeah, good. We continue with our study of chapter 11. We're at a very, very dramatic place in the Bhagavad Gita, so we have an interesting class ahead for us. Let's begin with some recitation. Of course, we didn't meet for class last week because of our anniversary. We'll begin our recitation right here. Repeat after me, please. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Loko Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krit Pravriddho, Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krit Pravrid, Lokan Samahar Tumiha Pravrittaha, Lokan Samahar Tumiha Pravrit, Rite Pitwam Namavishyanti Sarve. Rite Pitwam Namavishyanti Sarve. Ye Vastita Pratyanikeshu Yodhaha. Ye Vastita Pratyanikeshu Yodhaha. Tasmatvamuttishtaya Sholabhaswa. Tasmatvamuttishtaya Sholabhaswa. Jit Tva Shatrum Bhungshva Rajyam Samriddham. Chitva Shatrum Bhungshva Rajyam Samrid. Mayai Vaite Nihita Purvam Eva. Mayai Vaite Nihita Purvam. Nimitra Matram Bhavasavya Sachin. Nimitra Matram Bhavasavya Sachin. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratham cha. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratham. Karnam tatanyan api yodhaviran. Karnam tatanyapi rodhavir. Maya hatanstvam jahi mam vyatishtha. Maya hatanstvam jahi mam vyatishtha. Yudhyasvajeta sirane sapatnan. Yudhyasvajeta sirane sapatnan. Sanjayuvacha. Etachutva vachanam keshavasya. Etachutva vachanam keshavasya. Kritanjalirvepamana kiriti. Kritanjalirvepamana kiriti. Namaskritva bhuya hevaha krishnam. Namaskritva bhuya hevaha. Sagadgaram bhita bhita pranamya. Sagadgaram bhita bhita pranamya. Arjnuvacha. Sthane hrishikesha tava prakirtya. Sthane hrishikesha tava prakirtya. Jagat prahrishyat yanurajyate cha. Jagat prahrishyat yanurajyate. Rakshansi bhitani disho dravanti. Rakshansi bhitani disho. Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghaha. Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghaha. Kasmacha tena namare yan mahatman. Kasmacha tena namare yan mahatman. Kariyase brahmano pyari kartre. करियसे ब्रह्मनोप्यारी अनंत देवेश जगन्निवास अनंत देवेश जग त्वमक्षरं सरसत् तत्परं यत त्वमक्षरं सरसं तत्परं यत त्वमारिदेवः पुरुषः पुराणस् त्वमारिदेवः पुरुषः पुरा त्वमस्य विश्वस्य परं निधानम् त्वमस्य विश्वस्य परं निधानम् वेत्तासि वेद्यं च परं च धाम वेत्तासि वेद्यं च परं त्वया ततं विश्वमनन्तरूपा त्वया ततं विश्वमनन्तरूपा वायुर्यमोऽग्निर्वरुणः शशाङ्कः वायुर्यमोऽग्निर्वरुणः शशाङ्कः प्रजापतिस्त्वं प्रपितामतश्च प्रजापतिस्त्वं प्रपितामहश्च नमो नमस्तेऽस्तु सहस्रकृत्वः नमो नमस्तेऽस्तु पुनश्च भूयोऽपि नमो नमस्ते पुनश्च भूयोऽपि नमो नमस्ते नमः पुरस्तारत पृष्ठतस्ते नमः पृष्ठतः नमोऽस्तु ते सर्वत एव सर्व नमोऽस्तु ते सर्वत एव अनन्तवीर्याममित विक्रमस्त्वम् अनन्तवीर्यामितविक्रमस्त्वम् सर्वं समाप्नोषि तथोऽसि सर्वः सर्वं समाप्नोषि तथोऽसि सर्वः सुखेति मत्वा प्रसभं यदुक्तम् सखेति मत्वा प्रसभम् हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे अजानता महिमानं तवेदम् अजानता महिमानं मया प्रमादात् प्रणयेन वापि मया प्रमादात् प्रणयेन वापि We'll do more chanting next week. pick up the thread here, actually. So, in the middle of this chapter, 11, Vishwarupa Darshana, Sri Krishna finally revealed himself to Arjuna. Arjuna had been longing to see Sri Krishna's full cosmic form. Bear in mind, back in chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10, Sri Krishna was talking so much about himself, not as that individual person or avatara, but referring to himself as the God of the cosmos. So Arjuna understood Sri Krishna as an aspect of God, I suppose. He understood Sri Krishna as his friend and charioteer. And Sri Krishna had explained in chapters 7 through 10 so much about how he, Sri Krishna, is truly the God of the cosmos. Now, Arjuna's confusion, or Arjuna's difficulty, is just like many of your difficulties. When we hear these Vedantic teachings again and again and again, you get it intellectually, but it doesn't really go in. You know that feeling? The concepts, the ideas, you get, you understand. You're all very intelligent, there's no problem. So statements like tat tvamasi, you understand the meaning of these statements, not only the literal meaning, but you understand the implication of these great Vedantic teachings. But yet, they haven't completely gone in. Why? There is an apparent gap between what you know and what you experience. The ancient rishis said, Tattvamasi, you are that. You are limitless. You are full. You are complete. You are divine. You are vast. And our response is, hey, how can I be that? Right? Now, even if you've attended enough of these classes to understand how tvam, in that expression, tatvamasi, tvam doesn't refer to your body, doesn't refer to your mind and senses. Tvam refers to the essence of your being, to Sachidananda Atma. This is not the time for long Vedantic discussion, but suppose in prior classes you came to understand that very clearly. That yes, indeed, my nature is that pure consciousness. Even then, when you hear the statement tatvamasi, the common feeling is, well, I understand, but. There's always that but. Well, that's common. That but comes because there is a disparity between what you understand and what you experience. That disparity, by the way, can be handled, can be resolved completely. Now's not the time and place for tatvamasi. We'll come to that, by the way, in chapter 13 in a very big way. So in chapter 13, we'll go back to that very profound Vedantic inquiry. But for now, Arjuna has a similar problem, that is the gap between what he knows and what he experiences. He knows Sri Krishna as God as cosmos, God of the cosmos, that being unfolded in a prior few chapters, but he still experiences Sri Krishna as his charioteer and friend. And this is where the disparity comes. Then, Arjuna requests Sri Krishna at the beginning of this chapter to reveal unto him his cosmic form. Sri Krishna does so, and finally the gap between knowledge and experience is closed for Arjuna. Eventually, with regard to tatvamasi, eventually your gap between knowledge and experience, it will be closed. It'll take some time. But for now, let's look at what happens to Arjuna. The gap has been closed. Sri Krishna, a few verses back, revealed his totality. He said, Kalosmi, lokakshayakrit pravriddham. He said, I am not just the cosmos, I am time itself. I am the very fabric of creation. It's interesting. Time is part of the fabric of creation. Some of you know that Professor Einstein lived down Route 27 several miles. It's true. And Professor Einstein taught that time, along with space, is the fabric of the cosmos. And here Sri Krishna says, Kalosmi, I am time. I am the fabric of the cosmos. So this was the peak of the revelation to Arjuna. Arjuna has seen all that, and then Sanjaya briefly comments on what Arjuna... Sanjaya, in the last class we saw, Sanjaya then describes Arjuna. How does Arjuna look? Sri Krishna having revealed this great form, Arjuna is... His hands are folded, he's bowing over, he's suitably awed. And if you remember, we discussed awesome and awful. Arjuna feels awe in both senses, both as the awesome Lord and as the little, not little, as a scary, frightening aspect of Lord as well. So, in a previous verse, Sanjaya describes Arjuna as bowing down in obeisance, and finally, Arjuna speaks. So Arjuna now is going to speak, reflecting his experience. Yep. It's, suppose you went to a wonderful temple and had darshan. You go into the temple, and suppose it's unusual. You are just so moved. It is so powerful. To look in that, to see Bhagavan's form on the altar in that temple. Imagine the most powerful experience you've had in a temple. Then you come out of the temple and you try to explain that to someone. What will you say? Words really fall short at such times. Well, Arjuna doesn't fall short. You'll see that his, the way he describes his experience is something very profound. So let's pick up the thread and see how he describes it. Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna Stane Hrishikesha Tava Prakirtya, Stane Hrishikesha Tava Prakirtya, Jagat Prahrishyat Yanurajyate Cha, Jagat Prahrishyat Yanurajyate, Rakshansi Bhitani Dishodravanti, Rakshansi Bhitani Dishodravanti, Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghaha. Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghaha. Good. So the verse is introduced. Arjuna, uvacha. Uvacha, he said. What did he say? Sthane Hrishikesha. Hrishikesha, O Lord. O Lord. Sthane. It is right. It is proper. It is appropriate. What is appropriate? That Jagat, in the second line, Jagat Prahrishyati. Breaking it apart. Jagat, the world, Prahrishyati, would be elated, would be delighted. And delighted, and not only delighted, Anurajyatecha, and would be made happy. Would be elated, made happy, made full of joy and excitement. Why? Tava prakirtya. Because of your glory. Tava, your prakirti, your glory. Tava prakirtya, due to your glory, O Krishna, because of your glory, sthane, it is right, it is appropriate that the entire jagat, the entire world, should prakrishyati, should be elated, and anurajyatecha, should be happy. Happy with your divine presence, and Arjuna has been watching this cosmic revelation. And as Sri Krishna revealed his cosmic form, all of Arjuna was able to witness. Remember, Arjuna had this divya drishti, this divine sight, which not only allowed him to see Sri Krishna's divine form, but also allowed Arjuna to see all these deities in the heavens. He was seeing different apsaras, gandharvas, different devas and devis, and he was also seeing rakshasas. He was seeing, but he wasn't crazy. If you or I started seeing all of this, if you go home and say, I just saw some rakshasas and devas, I saw Vayu and Agni, you know, people would think you're absolutely nuts. Arjuna, you might be, I don't know. Arjuna had divya drishti. So he actually had this experience. He saw all of this. And he describes what he described. He said, Rakshansi Bhitani, the Rakshasas, who are Bhitani, who are fearful. So many Rakshasas stricken with fear. Why are they stricken with fear? They too see Sri Krishna's cosmic form. So seeing Sri Krishna's cosmic form, all of these rakshasas, rakshasani, are bhitani. They're stricken with fear. And what do? Dravanti. They run. Dishaha. Everywhere. In all directions. So Arjuna says, I see all these rakshasas stricken with fear, running in all directions. And not only that, but sarve siddha sanghaha, in the last line, sarve all of the siddha sangha, all of the collection of great cosmic beings, siddha sangha, this multitude of great cosmic beings, sarve, all of them, namasyanti cha, all of them are offering their prayerful obeisances unto you, O Hrishikesha, O great Lord. Arjuna continues. By the way, these verses will go fairly quickly because Arjuna is basically exclaiming his wonder. Can't use that term awe and wonder anymore. Sadly, that was used by... Anyway, we won't talk about that. Kasmachate nanamare yan mahatman. Kasmachate nanamare yan mahatman. Kariyase brahmano pyari kartre. Kariyase brahmano... Ananta Devesha Jagannivasa Ananta Devesha Tvamaksharam sarasat tat param yata tvamaksharam. Arjuna continues, referring to the Siddha Sangha, referring to the multitude of divine beings that Arjuna witnesses in the sky somehow, all of them making their prayerful obeisances to Sri Krishna. Arjuna says, Kasmate na namareyan. Why should kasmat, why? Why na namareyan? Nameran. That word is in my head wrong. Nameran. Nam is to bow. The dhatu, nam, is to bow down. It's used for prayer, like namaha, namaste, namaskar, all from nam, to prayerfully bow. Nameran. Na namayran. Kasmat. Why should they not bow? Literally. Why should they not bow? Te, unto you, Mahatman, O great soul, O great Lord, why should they not bow unto you? And he makes an interesting point here. Sri Krishna is got a big cosmic form, but what about Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, you know, the creator, sustainer, etc.? And he says, Gariya say, you are greater, greater than Adi Kartre, as the creator in the very beginning. Who is that? Brahmanaha, Brahman. You are greater than Brahmaji, the creator of all. Now, how can Sri Krishna say you are greater than Brahma? Here we have to go back to a Vedantic understanding. You all know very well that the multiplicity of deities in the Hindu tradition is for the sake of our devotion, but the correct understanding is that they are all aspects of one and only one God. You all know this very well. One God, many forms, many aspects. We've discussed this at great length. So what Arjuna is referring to here is recognizing that Brahmaji is one aspect of God. God is creator. Vishnu, God is sustainer. That's one aspect of God. Shiva, God is destroyer, so-called. One aspect of God, but the God ultimately, Bhagavan is greater than all of that. You know, just like for you, suppose at work, someone knows you as a very competent person in your chosen field. Someone has great respect and admiration for you. Do they know anything about your home life? And what a good person you are, what a good provider you are, what a kind person you are, what a loving person you are to your family. They have no idea. They only know one aspect of you. Similarly, at home, in your profession, you might be one of the greatest in your fields. You might be an expert, but at home, you know, it does. Who cares? At work, you may have taken a decision that made millions of dollars for your company. At home, they don't care. They just want to love you and enjoy you. So they know one aspect of you at home. They don't know the you at work. At work, they know that aspect. They don't know the you at home. So someone who knows only one aspect of you misses out on much, right? Similarly, if we understand Bhagavan only as creator, Brahmaji, we're missing out. If we understand Bhagavan only as Vishnu, sustainer, we're missing out. Only as Shiva, we're missing out. Arjuna has received the revelation of everything, the whole, the totality. Therefore, Arjuna can truly say, Gariyase Brahmanaha, you are greater than Brahmaji, because Arjuna is referring to Sri Krishna as the whole, as the God of gods, so to speak. So, Gariyase Brahmanaha, you are greater than Brahmaji, Api Adi Kartre, even him, the Adi Karta, the creator in the very beginning, creator of all. and he addresses Sri Krishna. He says, Ananta, O Limitless One. These words are in the vocative case. Vocative case is what we use for terms of address. And in English, well, sadly, in English, most of our terms of address are always negative. I can't think of many. In English, there's a tendency, if you want to insult someone, you say, hey, idiot. It's very insulting. It turns out in English, most of our informal terms of address are not very flattering. Maybe some. You refer to someone as lover, oh lover. Something like that would be very positive. Here, these are all really wonderful terms of address. Vocative case, where Arjuna says, Ananta, O limitless God. Devesha, O Lord of the Devas, O God of Gods. Jagannivasa, O God who art the abode of the universe. Jagannivasa. Very wonderful expression. The Nivasa, the home or abode for the entire jagat, for the entire universe. When Arjuna saw Sri Krishna's cosmic form, that cosmic form wasn't just big. We had this discussion. We get, you know, in the movies and videos, you see this individual form with all the heads and arms. Well, that's silly. We discussed long ago that wherever, earlier in this chapter, that wherever Arjuna looked, he saw Bhagavan. He looked to the left, he saw God. He looked to the right, he saw Sri Krishna. He looked behind, below, above. In every direction Arjuna looked, he saw Bhagavan. He saw not only Bhagavan, but within that God he saw. He saw the earth. He saw the stars, the moon, the planets. He saw the universe within Bhagavan. Now, this is a very profound teaching that we saw way back in chapters 7 and 9, but let's reflect on it very briefly. When we say that God is all-pervasive, sarva-vyapaka, we've talked before how we misunderstand that word all-pervasive, sarva-vyapaka. All-pervasive doesn't mean that Bhagavan fills the universe. Doesn't mean he fills the universe. Why? We gave the example that space fills this room. With regard to this room, space is sarva-vyapaka. We could say that space fills this room, but that expression is horribly inadequate. Because as you know, space not only pervades this room, but space extends beyond the room. Instead of saying this room is full of space, it's so much more accurate to say that this room exists in space. What a different perspective. This room is full of space. Fine. This room exists in space is the truth. Bhagavan is everywhere. That's what people say. Bhagavan is everywhere. Fine. But the reality is, everything exists within Bhagavan. That's such a more profound truth. Yes, Bhagavan is everywhere at all times, but much more accurate to say that this entire universe exists within God. And that's what's said here, where Arjuna calls Sri Krishna Jagannivasa, abode of the cosmos. Tvam Aksharam, he says. Tvam, you, O Krishna. Tvam, you are Aksharam. You never change. You never undergo decay. You don't have ageless, timeless, unchanging. Aksharam. Sarasat tat param yat. Very philosophical here. He says that you are tat param. You are beyond that. Beyond what? Sat and asat. You are beyond sat, existence, and asat, non-existence. Now, this will challenge your thinking. What do you mean, beyond sat and asat, beyond existence and non-existence? Philosophers are fond of very obscure, weird questions. And one weird question philosophers like to ask, both in Western philosophy and in Vedanta, they ask this question: why does anything exist at all? What a question! There's no rule that says anything should exist. Why should there not just be emptiness? Why should there not just be an empty cosmos, a universe full of nothing? Why not? Who says that there should be anything? Well, the fact is that things exist, the universe exists, and to understand the existence of the universe, we come to appreciate that the very possibility of existence depends on a conscious being. I'll say that again, little tricky philosophy. The fact that there can be the existence of a universe at all, the fact that anything can exist, means there must be a source for existence itself, the existence of material things. And the source of existence or non-existence of material things, the source of all that, is here called Sat Asat Param, that which is beyond Sat and Asat, beyond creation, beyond existence and non-existence. So here Sri Krishna is praised as that because of which existence itself is possible. Very profound. Then, Twamadi Deva Purusha Puranas, Twamadi Deva Purusha Puranas, Twamasya Vishwasya Param Nidhanam, Twamasya Vishwasya Param Nidhanam, Vetasi Vedyam Cha Param Cha Dhamma, Vetasi Vedyam Cha Param Cha Dhamma, Twayatatam Vishwam Ananta Rupa, Twam Adidevaha. You are the Twam, you are the Adideva. Literally, the first God, the first of gods. The first because of which there can be two and three and four. Sri Shankaracharya is famous for his Vedantic teachings of Advaita, one. And Advaita, you might, from a very philosophical standpoint, is the fact that Brahman, the truth because of which everything exists, is one and only one, which means there's never two or three or four. With regard to Brahman, there is no two or three or four. We're referring to the source of all, and there's only one of those. That's what it means when we talk about Advaya Brahma, the one non-dual Lord. But with reference to the creation, we can say that this Purusha, this cosmic being, this conscious source of all, is the one because of whom multiplicity exists. That's the sense. The one because of whom this manifold universe exists, multiplicity exists. So he says, Twam Adidevaha. You are that one who was present at the beginning. You are that Purusha. You are that cosmic person. And you are Puranaha. Purana usually means old. But old or ancient or even eternal are not appropriate words here. Eternal is not an appropriate word. Remember Puja Swami Dayananda's joke about why eternal is not a good word? Eternal suggests something that's around for a long time. Eternal. It's there always. It's there. It never goes away. And Puja Swamiji says eternal is not a good word because if eternal means always there for a long, long time, then eternal would be like styrofoam. That's his example. When styrofoam goes into the landfill, it's there for forever. Styrofoam is eternal, in his view. Well, Bhagavan, Purusha, the God of the cosmos cannot be eternal in the sense of styrofoam. We discussed some time ago. Even time, this is a funny statement, time comes and goes. Now, there are two ways of understanding that. You can say that today comes and goes, time comes and goes, but time itself sometimes doesn't exist. Can you imagine a condition in which there was no such thing as time? Do you want 2 minutes? You don't. I'm asking you, do you want 2 minutes of philosophy? Even if you say no, you got no choice. You know, you're going to get it anyway. 2 minutes of philosophy. Excuse me. What is time? Is it a thing? Or a cheese? Some vastu, something. The best way, I think, of understanding time is a measure of change. Imagine a cosmos that were utterly static. Nothing moved. The planets were stationary. The planets are made up of atoms. The atoms are stationary. Atoms are made up of particles, including these electrons that are said to spin around nuclei. Imagine that even the electrons are stationary. Imagine a cosmos, a universe, in which every particle, no matter how small, is utterly stationary. Nothing moves, nothing changes. In such a universe, would time have any meaning? Time is a measure of change. Time is a measure of change. Now, imagine, if you're thinking, could the cosmos be in a condition in which there were no particles moving? As long as you have moving particles, you have change. As long as you have change, you have time. Could there be a situation in which there was no movement, there's no change? Well, even modern physicists will say that prior to the Big Bang, the universe was in a condition of undifferentiated oneness. They call it, this famous physicist, Stephen Hawking, called it a singularity. That's the term they use for the universe prior to its expansion in the Big Bang. In that singularity, there were no particles. There were no motion. There was no change. When that singularity existed, was there such a thing as time? There was no time. And if you really want to stretch your brain, it's fun to ask questions is it possible to make up questions that can't be answered? Sure. Here's one. How long did that singularity exist before it underwent the Big Bang? How long did it exist? How can you measure time when there is no time? You get it? It's a question with no answer. This stretches our brains to understand that even time is part of creation. Just as space and planets is part of creation, time itself gets created. Time itself undergoes srishti and pralaya. It gets created and it goes away at dissolution. So here, prana can't be like the universe is ancient. The universe has been around since the beginning of time. It's correct. But we know that in this kalpa, in this cycle of creation, we knew that the universe began 14.5 billion years ago. This is a fact. This is not theory. This is proven fact. Not only did the universe get born 14.5 billion years ago, but time itself began 14.5 billion years ago. That's modern science. So, prana here, ancient, doesn't mean ancient as a universe. The universe is prana in that sense. It's been around since the beginning of time. But Bhagavan, the Purusha, the cosmic person, is that from whom even time comes. That's what Purana means here. Stretches our minds. Tvam, you, O Lord, you are the Param Nidhanam. You are the Param, supreme, ultimate, Nidhanam, abode, or source, or resting, resting place. You are the ultimate resting place, Asya Vishwasya, for this entire cosmos. Asya Vishwasya, for this entire universe, for the whole world. You are the Param Nidhanam, Tvam. You are the ultimate resting place. Now, ultimate resting place means what? This universe came forth from Bhagavan. Eventually, this universe returns to Bhagavan. That's what it means. Param Nidhanam, the ultimate resting source, resting place. Vetasi Vedyamcha. Veta Asi. Breaking the words. Asi. You are. You are what? You are Vedyam. Everything to be known. That is, you are manifest in the form of the entire universe. Therefore, you are Vedyam. You are knowable as a universe. But not only are you knowable as a universe, but you are the Veta. You are the knower. You are the Vedyam known, and you are Veta knower. You are knower and known. By the way, is anything left out? Any third category? Knower or known? By the way, this expression, Veta and Vedyam, knower and known, is preparing us for the most, I think, one of the most profound discussions in the whole Bhagavad Gita, which occurs at the very beginning of chapter 13. At the beginning, a few verses into chapter 13. We're going to have this, chapter 13 is this discussion about the kshetra and the kshetrajna. Some of you have heard these terms. Kshetra, field of experience, and kshetrajna, the knower of the field of experience. This is one of the most profound Vedantic discussions you'll find anywhere. It occurs in chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita. We'll study it in depth. Here we're getting a little hint of what's to come, where Arjuna says, O Lord, you are not only the known, you are the knower. You are both knower and known. We'll see the deeper meaning of it when we get to chapter 13. You are the Param Dhamma. You are the ultimate abode, as we said before. The abode of all, the resting place of all. Tvaya, by you. Tatam Vishwam. Vishwam, this everything, this entire universe, is Tatam. Tatam means pervaded. It has an interesting meaning, Tata. Tata is actually a reference to weaving. It means stretched or woven through. And the idea is in cloth. This cloth is woven through by threads. In fact, this is such a beautiful metaphor. It's used time and time again in Vedanta. This cloth is woven through by threads. The warp and the woof. So we would say that this cloth is tatam, woven through by thread. And in the same way, the universe is woven through by this Purusha, cosmic person. Now, what's so important about this metaphor is this. We can say this cloth is woven through by thread, but tell me, if you take the thread away from this cloth, what's left? Nothing. If all of my threads were taken away, I'd be very embarrassed right now because there would be nothing covering my body. We can say from one standpoint, cloth is woven through with threads, but from another standpoint, we can say cloth is nothing but thread. This is a profound metaphor that helps us understand. Bhagavan not only is woven in and through the universe, but Bhagavan is the very stuff out of which this universe is fashioned. Just as thread is the very stuff out of which cloth is fashioned, in the same way. Bhagavan is the fabric of the universe, the stuff underlying the universe. So, tatam vishvam. You pervade the universe. You are the underlying reality because of which the universe exists. And finally, he addresses Sri Krishna as Ananta Rupa, the one whose forms are limitless. How can he say limitless? Because every form is Bhagavan's form. If Bhagavan, if his cosmic person is that out of which the universe is fashioned, every form is a form of God. Now, a quick comment here. We talk about Hindus worshiping God in many ways. We made a reference to that earlier. And the famous Vedic dictum, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Varanti. So, such a fundamental teaching. Ekam Sat. Here, Sat doesn't mean truth. It means God. You look at the context, the verses before and after, it's very clear. It means God. Ekam Sat. God is one. Bhagavan is one. The cosmic person is one. Bahudha Varanti Vipraha. Vipra, the wise ones. Vadanti, they describe that one God, Bahudha, in so many different ways. And in how many different ways? Well, in Bhagavad Purana, it says, gives you a number. How many ways? They give the number 33 crore. 330 million. Do you think numbers like that are to be taken literally? Do you think someone added up? Well, let's see. There's Brahma, that's one. Vishnu, two. Shiva, three. Lakshmi, four. Parvati, five. And after counting for a really long time, they came up with this number, 330 million. Silly. It's all figurative. 33 crore means what? Ananta. Limitless. Every form that exists is Bhagavan's form. Why? Bhagavan is that fabric for everything. Bhagavan is present in every form. So therefore, Arjuna correctly addresses him as Ananta Rupa, O Lord, who is present in every form. Then, Vayur Yamognir Varunasya Shankaha, Vayur Yamognir Varunasya Shankaha, Prajapatis Tvam Prapitamahascha, Prajapatistvam prapitama namo namaste stu sahasrakratvaha namo namaste stu sahasra punascha bhuyo pi namo namaste punascha Ananta Rupa. The one God who's present in infinite forms, who we worship in infinite forms. Forms like what? Vayu. Wind. Bhagavan is present, not just as the wind that we know, but as the source of all wind, as Vayu Devata, as the underlying reality for wind. God in the form of wind. And Yama, the so-called God of death. God of death, maybe God of time, as we discussed before. Kalosmi, he said before, I am time. So Arjuna acknowledges here, Ananta Rupa, you are present in all forms. What kind of forms? A form of Vayu, wind. The form of Yama, God of death. Agni, God of fire. Varuna, God of the waters. Shashanka, God as the moon. Prajapati, God as a source of all people. Prapitamaha, as the so-called grandfather. Why grandfather? The father's father. We came from father. But even father has a source. So the father of the father, the source of the source. We were born of this planet. Well, the planet has a source. So the source of the source is the idea of a word like prapitamaha. So with these words, Arjuna is referring to that ananta rupa, that God who is present in infinite forms. Now something interesting happens. Actually, we have a little shift in the dialogue. Look where Arjuna says, Namo Namaha Te Astu. Namaha Te, by the way, in Namaha means salutation, it's bowing. Te, unto you. When the word Namaha and Te to come together, there's a rule called Sandhi, which causes the Aha, the Visarga, to become Sakara. Namaha becomes Namas, Namaste. Namaha Te becomes Namaste. Literally means salutations, Te, to you. Te means to you. Namaha, salutations, Te, unto you, astu, may they be. May salutations be unto you. Sahasra kritvaha, thousands of times over. Sahasra, thousand, kritvaha, again and again. Thousands of times over, salutations to you. Namaha, namaha, salutations to you, thousands of times over. Punaha, and again, thousands of times isn't enough. Punaha, and again, bhuyaha, and again, api, also, again and again, also, namo namaha te, namo namaste, salutations again and again, and again and again and again and again. What's going on here? Thousands of times isn't even enough. Have you ever had a situation where someone praised you a little too much? You know there's something going on. If someone praises you a little too much, what would be an example? Your children. If you're raising children, the children know if they want something really badly, then if they kind of talk you up, they chat you up, the American expression, they butter you up by being really nice. Something that's excessive, or at work, if someone, I wonder if this happens to you, someone at work says, hey, you're really so competent, I have so much respect for you, and they go on and on like this, you are so talented, you are such a leader in your field, everyone respects you, and most of all, I respect you and your talent and your accomplishments and your skills. If someone is hawking you up like that, you know they're asking for something. You know there's an ulterior motive. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is right here, Arjuna is going a little over the top. Sahasra kritvaha namaha, salutations thousands of times over, punaha, and again, bhuyaha, and again, api, also, namaha, namo namaste, salutations to you again and again. What's going on? Why is Arjuna suddenly launched into this excessive praise, over the top praise? Let's see how it unfolds. Namah purastarata prishtataste namostute sarvata eva sarva namostute sarvata eva sarv ananta viryamita vikramastvam ananta viryamita vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshita tosi sarvah sarvam samapnoshita tosi sarv. So, in a previous half verse, Arjuna said salutations again and again and again and again, thousands of times over. And how does he begin this verse? He continues, namaha, again, salutations. Salutations, purastat. Salutations in front of you. Prishtataha te, and also behind you. Salutations is like, literally, salutations to your front, salutations to your backside. Prishtataha. Salutations te, unto you. Salutations from all sides. Namaha astu te. Salutations unto you. May these salutations astu, may they be. May they be te, unto you. Sarvataha, from all sides. Not only front and back, all sides. Eva, indeed, sarva. All sides. And then he addresses Sri Krishna as Sarva. all. Thou art all. May there be salutations unto you, sarvataha, from all sides. So Arjuna is grasping for words to express his awe for Sri Krishna. So saying namaste, namaha, salutations, doing pranam, namaskaram thousands of times isn't enough. Arjuna is grasping for words. And he continues. He says, ananta virya amita vikramaha tvam. Tvam, you. You are ananta virya. You are one whose virya, whose power, whose energy, whose courage doesn't work here, whose power and energy is ananta, limitless. You are the one whose energy is limitless. You are the one who is amita vikrama, whose vikrama power. So virya, energy, vikrama, power. And power here, amita, measureless. Ananta virya, limitless energy. Amita vikrama, immeasurable power. Tvam, you are that. Arjuna hasn't quite run out of words. But he has to go for bigger and bigger words. When you praise someone, if you praise someone yesterday as being smart, you can't praise them today as just being smart. You have to take it up the next level, the next notch. And that's what Arjuna is doing here. He's ratcheting up the praise as high as he can get. He says, sarvam samapnoshi. Samapnoshi. You pervade. You pervade sarvam. You pervade everything. Tataha asi sarvaha. And sarvaha, everything is tataha pervaded asi. Asi, you are the one who pervades everything. You pervade everything. Everything is pervaded by you. Arjuna here is somehow starting. The last part sounds very eloquent. But before that, it almost sounds like he's, I don't know how to say. Previously, we saw that expression, sagadgaram, that he's speaking with his catch in his throat. He's speaking with difficulty. And when you see expressions like the salutations millions of times unto you, thousands of times, again and again, it suggests that something is going on. And now we're going to see what's going on with this next verse. Why is Arjuna going over the top with this praise? He says, Saketi matva prasabham yaruktam. Saketi matva prasabham yaruktam. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. Maya pramarat pranayena vapi. Maya pramarat pranayena vapi. Sakha iti. Yeah. Breaking apart the words. Sakha iti matva. Iti matva. Considering you thus. Matva. Thinking about you, Krishna. How? As sakha. As friend. Now, this is very interesting. Before the war began, there were many times when Krishna and Arjuna were together as compatriots, as friends, sakha. And as friends, they were close and friendly. How do you behave with your closest friends? This is interesting. And you'll understand Arjuna's dilemma right now. How do you behave with your closest, dearest friends? Very casually, right? You do things very lovingly and intimately with your close friends. You call them by all their pet names, if they have them, in very friendly ways. And you hug them, your arm is around them, you can lay your head. Could you imagine you might put your feet on the lap of a close friend if you're just hanging out? something that would be considered a great insult in some other situations, but with a close friend, it's considered very endearing, very intimate, very close. Because we like to feel that kind of closeness where we can do anything. We know our friend loves us, so we have this complete freedom of intimacy. Well, Arjuna had that intimacy with Sri Krishna. And Arjuna would Sakha iti matva, considered Sri Krishna to be Sakha, a friend, a close, intimate friend. And therefore, prasavam yad uktam, therefore he uktam said things, yet said different things unto Sri Krishna. He said things which were prasavam, very kind of prasabham, without restraint, just kind of spontaneously, where they just kind of come out, literally it means forcibly. When something just comes out of your mouth without care, without carefully choosing our words. If you talk to someone you have tremendous respect for, you think twice. You choose your words very carefully. But with our closest friends, it just comes out. May not sound very eloquent, it just comes out. That's what it means. Prasabam yaduktva. He said, I spoke with you very casually, very carelessly. Things just came tumbling out of my mouth. What did I say so casually? Hey, Krishna. Very casually. Hey, Yadava. These are very casual ways of addressing. Like in English, it's hard because English is such a casual language anyway. If you say like, hey, you, very casual. Hey, you. You wouldn't speak to someone you respect like that. But when Arjuna said, hey, Krishna, that's like, hey, you. Or, hey, Yadava. Hey, Sakha. Hey, friend. In Hindi, when you address somebody to, that to can, tuja, tu-a, tu-ana. That it's either very insulting or very intimate. I suppose tuja. If it's spoken with meanness, it's very insulting, but to someone very dear. Ah, Anna. It's the most dear, intimate form of expression. Well, which is it? It can go both ways. Now, Arjuna has been using this kind of language with Sri Krishna in the past. He spoke so informally. And he says, all of this was said, ajanata, without knowing, I was speaking to you so carelessly, O Krishna, O Yadava, O friend, I was speaking to you so carelessly, ajanata, without knowing, tava, your idam mahimanam. Tava idam, tavedam. Idam, this. Mahimanam, greatness. This greatness, tava, of yours. Ajanata, without knowing this greatness of yours, I have said all of these things so casually, so carelessly, mayat. All of this has been said by me. Pramadat. Due to carelessness, so carelessly I've addressed you, pranayena, or just out of intimacy, out of this closeness. I've spoken so carelessly. Arjuna now is, we'll see in the next class. Arjuna, can you describe his feeling? You know, he's speaking to Sri Krishna. What do you think he's feeling right now? The word I would suggest is, he's feeling really embarrassed. Why is he feeling so embarrassed that the dear friend that he's treated so casually for all this time, he now discovers this mahima, this greatness of his dear friend. Suppose you met someone at a social gathering, and you're just talking casually with this person, and you know, just all of this chit chat, and you say a lot of stupid, silly things. Sometimes people do this in social situations, and then finally you ask a question. So, what do you do? And suppose this person introduces himself and says, I don't know, who should we say? Well, my name is, you would know that. You read my mind. Oh, my name is Bill Gates. You know, I happen to be the richest person in this country, your second richest person. You know, you're speaking so casually, or, you know, I happen to be the governor of the state of New Mexico. Whoever that might be. He introduces himself as some big statesman or politician. You've been talking so casually, kind of making, I guess the American expression, making a donkey out of yourself, so to speak. And finally you discover that this person is some really big shot. How would you feel? You feel a little embarrassed at least. Well, then think, if you would feel a little embarrassed, think of Arjuna's embarrassment. In the next couple of verses, we're going to see Arjuna describing this terrible embarrassment he feels, having realized that the friend he took so casually, I'm sure I mentioned before, propping up your feet on his lap, you'll find a reference to that in the next verse. Arjuna might even have propped up his feet on Sri Krishna's lap playfully, and now he's going to discover Sri Krishna, and now he has discovered Sri Krishna as God of the cosmos, and how Arjuna must feel, how embarrassed he must feel. We'll see that in the coming verses. A couple of quick announcements before we conclude our class today. Last week was our 8th anniversary celebration. I want to thank all of you. You all came for the celebration, those of you who were in town. It was a great celebration. Many of you contributed to our anniversary souvenir, which came out brilliantly, wonderfully.